Veritas Academy was chosen by Niche as the number one Christian and private school in Northern Virginia and third in the state of Virginia. Have coffee with the headmaster every Tuesday morning. Schedule your visit now. VeritasAcademyDC.com. VeritasAcademyDC.com.
Rob Henneke is also pretty happy these days. He's general counsel and executive director of the Texas Public Policy Foundation, lead counsel for the vaccine mandate cases that, of course, as you know by now, the Supreme Court maintained a stay in those decisions of the Fifth Circuit, which means that as of now, there is no vaccine mandate at the federal level. Counselor Rob Henneke, thanks for joining us. Well done. Congratulations.
My pleasure. Good morning, Larry Patrice. Thank you for having me. Getting my hands around the milestone win yesterday, historic in all respects, and I think noteworthy when you think about, the Biden administration has invested a third of its presidency so far focusing on this private employer vaccine mandate, all to have that wiped out yesterday when the Supreme Court agreed with us that it's illegal for this administration to require this through OSHA.
Yeah. And famously, some of the justices made some disconcerting remarks in their questions during the open hearing last week. And I wonder has there been any fallout here in terms of specifically Justice Sotomayor just making false claims about the number of children who are in hospital right now due to the Omicron variant and COVID-19 in general? And I don't know, just an overall concern I have, Robert Henneke, that we've got Supreme Court justices who are operating with really bad information, making really important decisions.
Well, we do. I can't think of any time in history that a Supreme Court justice has been fact-checked before, let alone receiving, four Pinocchios from the Washington Post. But the questions and the comments that Justice Sotomayor and Justice Breyer were making last week during oral arguments, it would be unfair for me to call them detached from reality from so how far afield they were. It was complete fabrications. And it just makes you wonder what information is being fed to these justices, for them to have this view about the current state of COVID that bears, no relation to reality. And if that's coloring their viewpoint about this, then, that's concerning because it influences the outcomes of the case.
Yeah,
absolutely. And imagine if Supreme Court justices are, misinformed, can you imagine how many misinformed Americans are out there? I'd love for you to talk about, what this means for vax mandates going forward. I think you tweeted that it seems like the justices or the Supreme Court may be comfortable with some level of mandates. What levels are those, and maybe what levels of government would those be at?
Well, it's a great point. And let's be clear, there's been many vaccine mandates from the Biden administration. Unfortunately, yesterday's win was just to strike down the one for private employers. But for all those listening in the D.C. area, this doesn't have anything to do with the federal employee vaccine mandate, for example, or the federal contractor mandate. Mm-hmm. Those are involved in separate challenges. But, the court didn't reach the constitutional issues that were brought. They decided this case on some very limited statutory grounds. So it's kind of winning the battle, but not, winning the ultimate war. And where you've seen the court has been willing to allow state vaccine mandates from like Maine and New York to remain in place kind of tells you that the majority of the court thinks, vaccine mandates can be appropriate at the state level, but it's not the federal government's power to do that. And I think that you saw that distinction yesterday.
Well, and let's talk a little bit more, though, about these broader constitutional issues, because I think that's where people's hearts really resonate with this. Yes, clearly the Supreme Court affirmed properly, God, thank God they got this one right, that OSHA and the Department of Labor and administration just can't unilaterally put forth something like a vaccine mandate under the powers that they were given through the legislation that created that department in the first place. That said, you hear people talking about ideas of body autonomy and the ability to make their own health choices. People even use the Nuremberg Code as an example as to why these vaccine mandates forced by the government in one way or the other or by an employer are just wrong, just basically violate people's innate human rights. Was there any hint from anything from any of the justices? Did they even come close to going there about our human rights in this regard?
Well, you're spot on. And, you know, inherent in the Constitution is, you know, the right to be left alone, the individual's right to be left alone by the government. When we brought our lawsuits, we did bring two constitutional claims. And in fact, when it was the Texas Public Policy Foundation's case, that my case that won the initial stay of the vax mandate at the Fifth Circuit, the day after it went into effect, that court agreed with us that the vaccine mandate was unconstitutional under the Commerce Clause and also under the non-delegation doctrine, because Congress had not addressed this. So you saw a concurrence of the Supreme Court. You saw Justices Gorsuch, Alito, and Thomas in their concurring opinion touch on the non-delegation doctrine, that executive branch can't do this if Congress has not given it to them. But nobody on the Supreme Court was willing to pick up and address the overall federal power question, that this is not something that's part of the federal government's limited enumerated powers under the United States Constitution, and it should not be considered or permitted in any form or fashion. So we missed that, and unfortunately, I think we're going to continue to be playing whack-a-mole moving forward as this administration continues to look for obscure statutes that have ambiguities that allow it to claim these kind of unprecedented powers until we have a final say on just the limits to federal power, you know, because of the pandemic, and, you know, put this back in the box.
Yeah.
So do you think that that is the big winning the war? I mean, earlier you mentioned, you know, this is a win for a battle win, but we are still waiting for winning. How are we going to win the war? And is this what you're describing, kind of the maybe a case or a challenge that would allow the court to deal with this federalism argument? Is that the win for winning the war in your view?
The win for the war is for the court to address the Commerce Clause, to address the non-delegation doctrine, to address these, you know, individual human liberties that are at stake, in saying that the federal government cannot just use the excuse of COVID to come in and make these sweeping pronouncements and regulatory commands, not because the statute doesn't allow it, not because maybe it's not justified by the facts, but because it's just flat out not the power of the federal government to do, period, full stop.
Yeah.
And until we get to those bright line, broad pronouncements, you know, we're just going to be, you know, on the fringes on a case by case basis, you know, winning these individual battles, but not really resolving the ultimate questions that are at stake.
In the meantime, let's take the W on the battle. They are few and far between, sadly, these days. So, Robert Heneke, congratulations. Thanks for taking this fight up.
Thank you.
Keep an eye on that Chuck DeVore guy over there at Texas Public Policy Foundation. Yeah, watch out for him. Is he still acting like he comes to work every day? You know, Diane does all the work, right?
Oh, no, there's no question there. No. Are, we, you know, Chuck's a great member of the team. I'll tell him you guys send your best.
Oh, I don't think that's exactly what I said, but all right, fine, guys. Thanks, Rob. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Both.
Have a great weekend.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draftaccess to register for free entry today.